Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the Parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the Parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org. So, digging into this text that Paul has written for us in Galatians, there's two important themes that he talks about. He talks about freedom, and he talks about the difference between living by the flesh and living according to the Spirit. And we're going to be talking today about Sabbath. And what it brought to mind for me, this for some of you, this will make you super uncomfortable, but a few months ago, I had to go and get a root canal at the dentist. Does that already like send shivers down your spine? I had to go and get a root canal. I've never had one done before. Got the root canal, and if you've never had this done, you don't know the procedure, but you start with the root canal, and then they put in a temporary filling, and they said, come back in a few months, and we'll cap it off, and we'll make it final, and we'll give you like the tooth that you're supposed to have for the rest of your life. Well, I was in that in-between stage, and I noticed that something didn't feel right in my tooth, and I was thinking, I think part of my filling has come out. What is going to happen? And I had these visions of just the dentist saying, oh no, the left half of your mouth's just got to go. So I'm starting to get terrified, and it's just running through my brain, and it's over the weekend, and I'm going, okay, Monday morning, first thing, I'm going to pick up the phone and call the dentist and make an appointment. And so Monday morning, 8 a.m., I know what time they open. I pick up the phone, I call them, and I hear, we are so sorry to tell you, but our office is going to be closed for the next 2 weeks. And we won't be back until, and this obviously had been the first day that this message was enacted, we won't be back until June 15th or something like that. And so here I am looking at 2 weeks of just kind of waiting and not knowing what's going on. And my peaceful pastoral reaction was just to be really mad and hear this and go, what do you mean 2 weeks? My tooth is like, you're going to have to pull my tooth forever and I'm going to be snaggletooth the rest of my life because you decided to take 2 weeks off. There's something inside of me that just rose up and said, I need something. You're supposed to supply that need right now. And I've also had this moment creep up on me. If you've ever had these moments where it's late at night and you realize you forgot something from the grocery store, and you go and you head to the grocery store thinking, just like Walmart, like surely the grocery store will be open because surely other people need things in the middle of the night as well. And of course, you see the shopping carts lined up in front of the glass door. Just frustration, right? Just anger. Just like, why have you not gotten the message? You're supposed to be open. Or the one that gets all of us is Chick-fil-A. Everybody knows the Chick-fil-A pain, right? You get that hankering for something from Chick-fil-A, and then you remember at some point, oh, you're kidding me, it's Sunday. Of course we can't get Chick-fil-A today. There's something that's conditioned within us in our culture, and these little devices kind of pour into that, right? These little devices tell us that we should be able to answer any question immediately. On the spot, there's no longer like, hey, let's go look in a dictionary, or well, maybe you're right, maybe you're not, I don't know. You're like, oh, I'm going to find out that you're wrong right now. We've been cultured with this idea that if we need something, we should be able to get it instantly, automatically. It should be open. It should be ready to meet our needs on the spot. And then there's this strange practice that God has given his people called Sabbath. And it's totally different than what we see when we walk out of this door. It's totally different than the rest of our lives, which says that we need to always be available, always open, always on, always producing. And God says, nope, for 24 hours every week, I want you to rest. And I want you to put the closed for business sign out and just stop everything that you do. And so as a church, we've tried to take that very, very seriously. And this practice of a summer Sabbath of 4 weeks that we don't meet for Sunday worship is really important. It's not just convenient. It's not just fun. I'm not going on a cruise. Okay, so this is not like something crazy that we do just to kind of sneak out the back door and let everybody have a good summer. It's very, very important. And it ties in with these two themes that Paul talks about in Galatians, freedom and living in the Spirit. So I want to talk to us today about what this summer Sabbath is. And I want us to help spend some time today preparing for the Sabbath. In the ancient Hebrew tradition, and still to this day, people who are devout Orthodox Jews, the Sabbath doesn't just sneak up on you. It's not something that you just look at your clock and go, oh, wow, it's Saturday, I guess we should stop working. The Sabbath is something that you would prepare for, that you would spend time deeply thinking about and getting ready for in your home. And then you would turn on Friday evening, you would turn to the west and you would look to the setting of the sun and you would welcome the Sabbath as if you were welcoming a guest in your home. It's like you're standing at the airport with a sign waiting for someone to arrive. There was this eagerness, this anticipation, this preparedness. We've been waiting for you. And every 7 days, there's this blessed guest that comes in this tradition. And so for us, today is a day of preparation for this summer Sabbath, where we're going to turn our attentions to the horizon and we're going to see what God is bringing and we're going to welcome it like a welcome guest. And instead of next Sunday rolling out of bed and going, hey, cool, I got one more hour of sleep than I normally do. No, we're going to prepare for it. And we're going to use this time intentionally. First of all, three things that summer Sabbath is not, okay? Because I hear this a lot. I even say this mistakenly sometimes, so I'm correcting myself on this. Summer Sabbath is not a vacation, okay? So people ask me all the time, what are you going to do on summer Sabbath? Thinking I'm going to say, well, I'm going on a cruise for 3 weeks. Summer Sabbath is not a vacation. We're still in the midst of working on trying to lay out what God has for us for this next year. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be done over the next 4 weeks, but we're not meeting on Sunday morning. Summer Sabbath is not a statement of the value of Sunday worship. Okay, I've had some people say this, well, if you don't meet for worship, then that means that you don't care that worship is not important. No. It's actually the exact opposite. We think that our Sunday worship is so important that we shouldn't take it for granted. We shouldn't just assume that every single Sunday, this is what we do because we live in the South and we just go to a church on Sunday morning. That's what we do. No, we've found that by taking an intentional break from the rhythm of our weekly patterns, we actually appreciate and enjoy and embrace it much more. Summer Sabbath is not a break to replenish so that our other Sundays are better, okay? So this is not just a time where we get to kind of tinker and work with things so that when we come back in the fall, it's so much better and so much more joyful. And it is. When we show up here in August, it's like the first day of school again, and everybody gets to hug and say, hey, what's going on? What did you do this past summer? But that's not the reason why we do this. Summer Sabbath is an intentional practice of embracing the unforced rhythm of the Holy Spirit. We talk about that a lot, the unforced rhythm of grace that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. This is an intentional practice, intentional. This is not haphazard. We didn't come up with this last week. We didn't just decide, oh man, I've run out of things to preach about, so let's just not meet for the next 4 weeks. This is a very intentional practice for us, and it's targeted. It's very specifically targeted, okay? And it's targeted at this idol that we worship in our current culture. I do it, you do it, we all do it. The idol of busyness. Busyness is this huge mammoth idol in our culture that we bow down in front of every single day and we don't pay any attention to it. And you've heard me talk about this before. I'm pretty passionate about this, but the church as a whole, especially in America, is spending so much time and energy focusing on the idol of the different boundaries of sexual ethics when we kind of break out of those boundaries of sexual ethics. And those are really important things that we need to be wrestling with as a church. But if we're just wrestling with that and we miss the idol of busyness, we have completely missed this massive thing that God is placing in front of us and saying, yeah, but this is what I want us to wrestle with in our current culture. And what if by pursuing and targeting the idol of busyness and counteracting that with the practice of the Sabbath, what if God actually creates the space in us to begin to speak to us and cultivate the kinds of people in which these questions about ethics and these questions that we love to debate no longer matter because we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit and we walk in the way that He's designed us to live. We have got to pay attention to the idol of busyness. I've said this before, but a friend of mine told me this, that the commandment of keeping the Sabbath, you know, there's 10 commandments that God gave to His people. One of them is keeping the Sabbath. That commandment is the only commandment that we brag about breaking. We think it's awesome when we break the Sabbath. You would never brag about murder. You would never brag about lying. You would never brag about anything else that's on that list, but we brag all the time about how busy we are. How many times a day when people say, how are you doing? Do you just say, oh, I'm so busy. Gosh, I'm so busy. But we wear it like this medal of honor on our chest because we have been taught in our culture that the busier we are, the more important we are. And that if we don't have something to do, it not only means that we're kind of void of an activity or a task, but it means that we're void of worth. and we're void of significance in our lives. And so whether it's tax returns or spreadsheets or investment portfolios or folding laundry or a youth baseball schedule, whatever it is, we fill our calendars with busyness in an attempt to kind of numb that idea that maybe we haven't given attention to the fact that we need to know actually what we're worth instead of what we do. Embracing the summer Sabbath and targeting this idol of busyness is one of the most distinct things we can do as followers of Jesus. If you want to look radically different than the people around you, in the people that you work with, in the moms that you interact with on a weekly basis, if you want to look radically different, then embrace and hold on to the practice of Sabbath, because it's completely different than the way that the rest of the world looks like. Chick-fil-A is such an example of that, right? Like, we see it, and even though we get frustrated by it sometimes, we step back and go, man, they're doing something right. Something about that seems like the way that God has designed us to live. Peter Scazzaro says this, which I think is really powerful about Sabbath. By the very act of refusing to succumb to the enormous pressure of Western culture around us, we too serve as a sign of a free people. We've been called out of a world trying to prove its worth and its value by what it does or possesses. We are deeply loved by God for who we are, not for what we do. This is one of the big reasons why we practice this summer Sabbath, because this church doesn't exist to just give us worth as people who lead this church. This church doesn't exist to just prove to the rest of the world, man, we are knocking it out of the park. God is growing this church and there's amazing things happen. No, we would rather take time off and give you space and margin in your lives so that we all begin to wrestle with the question of who we are instead of what we do, myself included. Paul's depiction in Galatians 5 of the acts of the flesh is really important. He says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. They're obvious. And he gives all this list, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. Some of those you might look at and go, well, I don't know that I see that. I think if Paul was going to write that today, he would probably twist it a little bit and make it fit our current context. He would probably include things like pornography and unchecked lust and hateful Facebook rants. I'm sorry, but he would include that probably. Addiction in all of its various forms, that every single one of us could probably tell a story of addiction to something or someone. And yet he says that the acts of the flesh are obvious. Well, if they're so obvious, why can't we get away from them? Why can't we avoid these things? If they're so obvious, why do we keep tripping over them and stumbling over them all the time? In some form or fashion, we all struggle with the acts of the flesh. And here's the dangerous thing. Because the acts of the flesh grow in the unkempt garden of burnout. When we max out our lives, and we run at 11 the entire way through our lives, when our calendars are packed and our budgets are packed and everything is lived as if we are limitless, we are headed to a road of burnout and destruction. And on that road, in that garden, as the weeds begin to grow up, that's when the acts of the flesh begin to appear. You're not just going to wake up one day and all of a sudden just stumble over the acts of the flesh. No, it's a long, steady road of burnout. And when you're on that road, we've got to be careful because those acts of the flesh begin to pop up. In contrast, Paul offers the fruits of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I could also add, with such things, there is no busyness. How many busy people do you know that are completely hurried and rushed and frantic and maxed out that are exhibiting love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness? You don't. When you're in seasons of life, when I'm in a season of life where I'm completely maxed out and I'm on the road to burnout, this is not what's growing in the garden of my life. The fruit of the Spirit grows in the soil of the Sabbath. The fruit of the Spirit will always grow in the soil of the Sabbath. When we intentionally take time that we draw out the rows and we dig and we cultivate and we create space for God's fruit to grow. Eugene Peterson said, Sabbath is not primarily about us or how it benefits us. It is about God and how God forms us. I don't see any way out of it. If we are going to live appropriately to the creation, we must keep the Sabbath. If we want to be people who are marked by love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and gentleness, we have to be people who cultivate the soil of the Sabbath. We've got to slow down as a part of our spiritual journey. And just like the rest of the gospel and the rest of the message of Jesus, it's contradictory. It's this strange irony of the truth of the spiritual life, which is that when we try to live as though we have no limits, when we try to live as though our calendar has no boundaries and no limitations and we can do anything, we end up being able to do nothing. When we live with no limits and no limitations, we end up as a prisoner of our own making. But when we place intentional boundaries on our time and we create intentional margin, our souls begin to expand and we begin to find incredible freedom. Paul said in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Think about your calendar for a moment. Think about the next 7 days or the next 30 days of your life. When you think about that, do you think freedom or do you think a yoke of slavery? Which one comes to mind? For me, many times, my calendar looks like a yoke of slavery. And every Monday morning, I put that yoke back around my shoulders and say, it's time to put nose to the grindstone and just keep plowing. And if that's you, then we're going to give you a gift of the next 4 weeks to try and intentionally mark out and create some margin in your life for Sabbath. And the important thing to remember is that Sabbath is not a freedom from something. It's freedom, but it's not freedom from. It's not freedom from worshiping together. It's not freedom from waking up early on Sunday mornings. It's not freedom from having to get your kids dressed and make sure their socks match before they go back in the back rooms with their teachers. It is not just a freedom from doing things. Sabbath is a freedom for something. Sabbath is a freedom for family. Sabbath is a freedom for your spouse. Sabbath is a freedom for your neighbors. It's a freedom for the enjoyment of simplicity and rest. It's a freedom for the peace and stillness of solitude. What I'm saying to each one of us today is that God has a plan for each and every one of us over these next 4 weeks. And it's not just to forget that we come to church on Sunday mornings and wake up at 10 o'clock and go, oh my gosh, it feels so good to sleep in. It's to anticipate and expect and make plans for what that freedom is for. Where is it that God is calling us to invest this time in the lives of others or in the work of our soul that he wants to do in us? I want us to spend the next few moments and kind of have our own time of preparation, just like the Hebrew culture would encourage us to do. And I want us to have a moment where we just stop and we ask the Lord to say to us, God, what is this freedom for? What are these next 4 weeks supposed to be for? Maybe for you, your marriage, you've been sensing slowly but surely. You don't want to pay attention to it, but if you really think about it, your marriage is beginning to drift apart. And these next 4 weeks, the best thing that you can do, especially guys as a husband, or many of you ladies as a wife, is to intentionally pour into that relationship and spend the 2 hours that you would have spent here pouring back into your spouse. For fathers and mothers, maybe it's pouring into the lives of your children in a way that you wouldn't normally be able to do. For many of us, it might be pouring into the lives of a neighbor, someone who lives down the street, someone who's not a part of this community, but it's a part of your community. Pouring into them, inviting them over for dinner. Hey, let's have breakfast on Sunday morning. We're not going to church. Why aren't you going to church? So that we can spend time with you. So that we can get to know you better. And know what's going on in your life and just find out more about what's going on in your world. What is the freedom for you?